Welcome to episode 237 of After the Credits. I am your co-host, Maureen Antunes, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Colleen, survivor of food poisoning.
Dale, no fixed address.
It feels weird recording here today because I have a different view. I'm used to like looking out the window and seeing mountains.
It's also in the wrong sort of order. You're sitting over there.
Yeah, I know. So yeah. It's weird, yeah. Right?
We're in the Coquitlam studio today.
Ooh, hopefully we won't have any screaming children popping into the show, but that's always a possibility.
Oh, add some color.
Sure. She just screams and says, Coco!
Coco!
That's
the only thing she knows how to say. I can do that.
Yeah, she's pretty good at that. But it's a pretty short month, all things considered.
I thought I was missing movies.
Yeah, me too. I kind of looked at the list and I thought, is this it? Mind you, that said, there's a couple of good things here. And one, I feel like I've been waiting for this movie for months. So I'm pretty excited.
Oh, is this the first one on the list?
No. I actually haven't even seen. Let's jump right in to July 6th and Ant-Man and the Wasp. Full admission, I still haven't seen Ant-Man.
Oh, you know, that's my favorite.
I don't know.
My favorite Marvel one.
It is my favorite Marvel one.
And I know it's on Netflix. I will fix this, I swear. I have it. I don't know why.
I'm actually trying not to get my expectations up, although I've read good things about it.
I'm kind of flabbergasted because it's Paul Rudd. And I know you kind of like Paul Rudd.
I love Paul Rudd. Exactly. This is the thing. Oh. Like every time I turn on Netflix, it's usually to like specifically to watch something, not to sort of browse for something to watch. So that's why it's on my list. But you know how my list is.
You
add shit to it and it might it'll be years before you get through the whole thing. So it's always at the end of the list and I never get to it. I swear to God, I will get to this weekend.
All right.
Because now there's a TV in the bedroom.
So much fun. And one of the best product placements ever.
Oh.
Ever.
Was Thomas the Tank?
Nope. His first job.
Oh, shit.
I mean, I was like looking and I thought, gee, that's kind of like a brand is signing off on this. It's like, oh my God, this is a product placement. That's amazing.
Well, they financed a quarter of this film.
Okay, I'm going to have to really watch this now. So the sequel comes to us from the same director, Peyton Reed, who I didn't realize also directed Bring It On. So instant bonus cred for me.
Oh,
Bring It On. All right.
I love that movie. So they give Ant-Man a partner.
Well, it was definitely a theme in the first episode. I don't want to give away stuff, but the fact that there was no Wasp in the first episode.
Oh, okay.
Featured partly in the storyline as part of the tension.
Yeah. There's
so
the Wasp was in the first one. She just wasn't the Wasp yet.
Okay. Yeah. I love some of the quips in the trailer about like you gave her wings. Oh, is that technology you just developed? No, we've always had it. I just, that is amusing. So I will get to it, I promise. But I think this one looks fun. I'd be totally game to watch this.
I want to be there. I really want to be there.
Also on the 6th, The First Purge, a prequel to The Purge.
This trailer looks,
I think it looks decent, but
I'm fascinated. Well, no, actually kind of with the, it's interesting what they've done with the plot. They've turned it into something very topical with what's going on with race. And
the first
it looks really interesting.
The first Purge really didn't interest me all that much. It's weird. It should interest me because like the hunting down and killing of people, your neighbors and all that, that sounds great to me. But I don't know. It somehow didn't do anything. This one, I'm like going, yeah. They don't know what they're doing. They've rolled out some sort of stupid plan, and it's going to backfire on everyone.
And, yeah, some jackass is improvising something totally subversive into it. Yeah, no, this isn't the kind of movie I like seeing in the theater, but I'm actually looking forward when it comes out post-theater.
That's awesome. I like the first Purge. I haven't watched any of the others, but I'm vaguely curious about this one.
Yeah, I like the first one too, more than actually I thought I would.
Yeah, me too. Also on the 6th, Whitney, I'm super stoked for this. Documentary on Whitney Houston from Kevin MacDonald, who's done a combination of dramas and documentaries over the years. Really, there's not much to say. It's a documentary about Whitney Houston. You're either going to be into it or not, I think, is kind of how it falls.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm falling so far away from this film.
What?
I just have no interest in Whitney Houston whatsoever.
Did I ever tell you guys that when I met Dan, I totally thought he was gay?
No.
And I'll tell you why. Because
I'm sure there's a Whitney connection.
Well, there is. It was basically his CD collection was all girl groups.
Oh.
Like all girl groups, and Whitney Houston and Celine, and it was just weird. And for a long time, I'm like,
did you think secretly you were getting into some sort of weird fag hag relationship?
I thought so.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought so. I've told him that more than once. And then, you know, eventually I've just discovered that he just prefers female voices. So, hey, there's that.
All right.
Moving on to July the 13th, Hotel Transylvania 3, Jendy Tarkovsky. Oh, my God. I totally massacred that. He's back directing the third film. I haven't actually seen any of the Hotel Transylvania movies. Have you
like
guys?
I like them.
Yeah.
They're really sweet.
That's what everybody says. I just haven't managed to get around to them.
I mean, they are what they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I'll say about this is the fact that they have gremlins as the pilots and the flight attendants is brilliant.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny.
I think it's interesting you brought that up, because when I saw that, I thought, oh, okay, it looks like they got some of their jam back, because two definitely flagged a bit versus the first one. Although that might have been partly because of the story. This one looks like they're back.
Yeah, it looks like it could be a lot of fun. And it's really kind of, well, other than the one of the, at the end of the month, it's one of the few animated films coming out even this summer.
Well, I thought of it as counter-programming to the big tent stuff.
For sure, for sure. Also on the 13th, Skyscraper, Dwayne Johnson. Really, the only reason to see this at this point is Neve Campbell. Because where the fuck has she been for
the last
10 years? I saw that, I'm like, I'm in. Bring it on.
I will not pay to see this, but when it comes on Netflix or something like this, I'm absolutely going to watch. You know what? I don't want to pay for The Rock, but I want to enjoy The Rock. Yeah.
So it kind of reminded me of like Towering Inferno.
It definitely has that jam to it.
They live in this.
How did you get on the building? I jumped off a giant super crane.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
That's just normal. I jumped off a super crane.
And this is the one that was shot here.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. So there's a lot of shots of Vancouver in the background.
I saw this movie and I thought, oh, I actually was kind of glad of the break we had from movies like this.
Yeah, no. So The Rock plays some, I don't know, war veteran who's doing some security stunt work. He's living in this super high-end tower.
He's got a prosthesis.
Yeah. And nothing seems to, like, this tower seems to be perfect. And then, you know, somebody sets the fucking thing on fire.
They take a line out from Bruce Willis movie, and yeah.
It gets pretty ridiculous pretty fast. But hey, Neve Campbell.
There you go.
As I put my hands up, I'm going to have to see this now.
Die Hard. Why couldn't I think of Die Hard? There's kind of a Die Hardish element.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. Also on the 13th, The Nun. Okay, I gotta say, I'm kind of excited for this one. So it's a horror movie set in, I'd guess, maybe turn of the century.
Yeah.
From the outfits, it's not really clear.
It's not modern, but it's not like super old either.
Yeah, exactly. So Tessa Farmiga plays a young, what's the word? Oh my God, a nun.
Novitiate?
Yeah. She's not quite a full nun yet. Yeah. She is sent with the priest to investigate some strange things at a nunnery, and, you know, shit breaks loose.
Why would you send a novitiate on a fact-finding mission? Like, they haven't even signed off on the... Yeah, who knows?
Anyways.
Hopefully that's just the bad trailer.
She just gets to wear the different color. She gets to wear the white robe or habit instead of the black habit.
Yeah, well, and I guess it's basically just for, like, the visual, right?
Yeah, good versus evil.
Evil, exactly. Yeah. I like the trailer for all its jump scares and whatever else. I think it's somewhat effective, so we'll see how it goes. Also on the 13th, don't worry, he won't get far on foot. Can I just say this looks hilarious?
This looks fun.
So Gus Van Sant is back after maybe a not-so-great movie, the forced one that he did.
Tree of Life? Or
no, he did one about Japanese forest.
Ooh, Suicide Forest.
Yeah. And it wasn't very good. It kind of got lambasted and then buried after a festival release. So he's kind of back. Joaquin Phoenix.
Sea of Trees?
Yeah, that's the one. With Matthew McConaughey, right? I think that that's who was in it. And it was a bunch of stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Naomi Watts.
Yeah.
Ken Watanabe.
Yeah, it's not very good. But this one looks like it could be fun. It's based on a true story, apparently. Joaquin Phoenix is a recovering alcoholic who also happens to be in a wheelchair trying to recover. And Jonah Hill is also trying to recover. And these two sort of get friendly and, you know, shenanigans ensue. And the trailer is super funny. And I almost didn't recognize Jonah Hill.
No, I didn't. I was looking for...
It wasn't Jonah until his Hill? Name came up in the credits.
Yeah.
That's who that dude is.
Yeah. Because he looks vaguely familiar, but not quite familiar.
The trailer also basically shows you why they never soup up those chairs.
Yeah.
There's a reason they go tops, maybe... I don't know, 5 kilometers an hour? There's reasons for this.
The physical humor certainly looks like it's working. Yeah. Also on the 13th, more counter-programming, 8th grade. This was a fairly successful festival release earlier this year. I'm sorry, any trailer that has Enya predominantly featured is a win in my book.
Wow, kind of blew me away, actually. Yeah. That's one of my favorite songs of all times.
It's a classic.
Sail away, sail away.
Sail away.
Sail away.
Little Enya.
As for the movie, I mean...
Orinoco Flow. Yeah.
Sail away.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I was glad to see like age appropriate and something targeted for that age group.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't look like it. It looked like grade 8. Like going out in the one piece
not
kind
a
of thing.
20-year-old.
Like everyone's staring at
playing an 8th grader.
And she actually had acne.
Yeah. Yeah. It certainly looks fairly
but
realistic.
But how would you describe this movie?
That's a 13-year-old kid.
Kind of a slice of life.
I would think so.
8th grader dealing with 8th grade? I don't know.
The last week of school.
Yeah, pretty much.
The point where... Can you make it through the full school year without setting the school on fire? That was always my question.
I never had the issue with setting the school on fire. I had other problems.
Daily, I dreamt of it. Locking all the doors from the outside with everyone in it and then setting it on fire. Fantasy. Never mind. I've revealed so much.
I was going to say, I wonder if that's something you should have revealed.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, it didn't happen, so obviously.
There is that.
Now I just get enjoyment watching people hunt children. I am a monster.
There is a video game based on that now.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Is it Battle Royale?
I forget what it's called, but it's loosely based on Battle Royale.
Oh, my God.
Sounds wonderful.
Moving on to July the 20th, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, hands down Cher.
Oh yeah.
That is all that matters about this movie.
It's the only reason I see this movie is Cher.
Cher.
Okay. Not such a big
deal
for me.
You're a great grandmother. That's so not going in the bio.
Yeah. That line was good.
Yeah. No, it's a sequel, but it's all about Cher. I actually don't think they give Meryl Streep credit, but she hardly appears in any of the trailers. I'm pretty sure she showed up it was for like 30 minutes to do like a couple of scenes. Yeah. It's all about Cher.
Oh yeah, yeah. We didn't invite you. Dire. Those are the only parties worth going to.
Of course.
Like,
I needed more Cher in that trailer.
Do we need to tell people
I will not
loosely
see
the plot? I don't know.
Sure. So it's a sequel to the original. This time around, the daughter has discovered that she's pregnant. And she's in Europe having a parallel kind of
experience
to her mother. And a bunch of people from the first movie made it kind of a prize. And of course, there's Cher playing grandma. So, you know, there's always that.
And full force ABBA songs and the same treatment from...
I like it.
Yeah. I think they actually didn't they do an original song for this or something?
Probably,
or is that...
Because I think they did an original song for the first one. So I'm assuming that there's probably an original song as well.
Because they're going to virtual tour now or something.
Which is ABBA, yes.
ABBA, yeah.
Yes.
The only way I would go see this is if there was a musical number from Chess the musical. Yeah. Like if they did One Night in Bangkok, I might be willing to watch it.
Nice. Okay, there is an amazing, I wish I could find it. Josh Groban was doing some sort of podcast where they were talking about music and he was picking some of his favorite songs and that was one of them.
It's great.
And it is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. It was pretty amazing because he sang. It was pretty choice.
Every time it comes on the radio or any kind of stream, the volume goes way the hell up.
Nice.
That is a great song.
I didn't know this.
I like that song too.
Also on the 20th, The Equalizer Part 2. I kind of thought maybe I'd seen the first one, but I don't think I did.
I never did because... I don't remember it.
Just from watching the trailer, I was pissed off because it looked nothing like the original Equalizer.
Oh, okay.
Like, there was a very specific sort of rhyme to reason of the original TV show.
There was a TV show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I remember the 70s. The Equalizer.
I remember the TV show. Oh, yeah.
Okay. When you can't get justice from anyone else.
Oh, you called the Equalizer.
Yeah.
The best part of this trailer has to be the fact that he's a Lyft driver.
Yeah.
This is his alter ego. He's a Lyft driver looking for people causing trouble, and then he goes in and kicks ass. I thought that was pretty great.
5-star review.
Right there. Yeah, that's right.
No, in my mind, just from showing it, he was doing all these small little cases kind of thing. That was mostly Equalizer. Like, he might do a couple in a show kind of thing, if I remember right. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'd be almost wanting to see this now.
Okay, the reason...
Was it the
70s? Oh, no, that's a TV series I'm looking at.
Yeah,
it was like 1985 to 1989.
Yeah,
was it that late?
The first Equalizer, it's only a few years old, and it also starred Denzel Washington and was directed by Antoine Fuqua.
Yeah.
And this is a sequel just with them reteaming, doing more of the same.
Oh, there it is, 2016.
Yeah, it's only a few years old.
I thought the Equalizer was earlier than that.
I thought it was actually,
the 70s, not the mid to late 80s.
No, that's not it either. Holy smokes. The first one is just like non-existent on...
Yeah, it did come out just not
plausible
that...
Plausible deniability. Not that many I remember years ago. Seeing it. We talked about it on the show.
And I think it's funny that I never actually saw it because I do like Antoine Fuqua's action movies, generally speaking. And, you know, Denzel is, you know, he can be good, especially in roles like this. So I was kind of surprised that I didn't see the first one when I saw the trailer for this one.
Yeah.
It looks okay.
Okay. I found it. Finally. 2014.
Yeah. All okay. Right. So a few years back.
When Denzel Washington and, oh, Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah. I don't remember.
I would watch this on Netflix.
Yeah. In this one, his friend Melissa Leo gets killed. And so he goes exacting revenge for her death.
Absolutely.
I didn't find it very compelling. And
honestly, the funnest part was the fact that he was a Lyft driver avenging the death.
Yeah.
Like they dropped some like drunk girl or something in the back of the car.
Obviously been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drugged. Assaulted. Maltreated.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty great, but the rest of it was like, meh, whatever.
And revenge stuff doesn't appeal to me like it did when I was in my angry young man 20s.
I love it. Also on the 20th, Mile 22.
Boring.
Pretty much.
I watched the trailer and go, I have absolutely zero interest in seeing this. Thank you for doing a film like this that has no appeal.
I wish Peter Berg and Mark Wahlberg would just like have a breakup. Because I'm not a huge fan of the two of them together, even though I tend to like Peter Berg's movies when they don't include Mark Wahlberg.
So
he's just kind of...
The description sounds interesting, and then I watch the trailer, and I'm like going, there's... You would have to pay me to watch it. You would literally have to give me money to watch
this. There didn't feel like a lot of tension in the trailer, which... So the story is CIA, or a secret agent something.
Yeah, some government agent.
Foreign country has to get from the embassy to the airport with a very important person without getting killed, and... Many bullets are fired and many explosions are done. And the trailer did not kind of...
Yeah, I'm with you. The most interesting part of the trailer was Iko Uwais, who is kind of badass. But I don't know how much of a role he has in this, but it's great to see him.
Yeah, when I've been tending to like get bored with too long of fight scenes.
No, yeah, I know.
And this one looks like it's going to be just
nonstop, right?
Nonstop. So
once it gets going, it's just going to be not never ending. Also on the 20th, Generation Wealth, from the directors of the Queen of Versailles, a documentary about our obsession with wealth.
This looks really interesting.
It does look really interesting
too. I quite like this trailer.
Yeah. Again, not a theater film for me, but I do want to see this.
Did you guys see Queen of Versailles?
No.
I think it's on Netflix. It's totally worth checking out. It's really interesting. It's about this like crazy over the top woman who, it's kind of about her and her husband, and it's called the Queen of Versailles because they basically go bankrupt as they are building a replica of Versailles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the movie I am most excited for.
Really?
All summer. July 27th, Mission Impossible Fallout. Yes.
Why?
Because I am obsessed with the Mission Impossible movies. I love them. And honestly, come on. Henry Cavill's mustache. Do you need more?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I do.
I don't.
Much more than this.
Yeah, I don't. I really like this trailer. I like the last one when they added Rebecca Ferguson. I think she's a great addition to the team, and I'm glad they brought her back. I'm in.
Which one was the last one?
Ghost Protocol, I think it was.
I think I enjoyed that one the best of most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I still get back to... I'm kind of sick and tired of it being the Tom Cruise solo show.
I'm okay with that.
I don't want to see Tom Cruise again unless he's doing that the agent from Tropic Thunder.
Oh.
Yeah, Les Grossman or something. Yeah.
Actually, I liked him in Jack Reacher. But there's something about the Mission Impossible format where you are bringing together this elite team and suddenly it becomes...
He's such a Mary Jane.
Yeah, it's just like it gets a little bit annoying. And to the extent that I like this one, the last one better was because it was a little bit more ensemble.
Yeah.
A lot more than some of the past ones.
And I think that they started more as the Tom Cruise show and they've become more of a team effort.
So if this one follows that trend and is more of the team, and I mean like the old crew is back too, like you say, Ferguson and Simon Pegg is in there. Although I don't think I saw him in the trailer.
Yeah, he's in the trailer for a very short.
Yeah, bit, the one that I watched, he wasn't. Okay. But it's an action flick and it's going to be well produced. So I will see it at some point. I'm just not as excited as you are.
I'm totally excited. I really like Christopher McQuarrie's action movies. He's pretty solid. So I'm in. I just wish it wasn't so long. It's a really long movie.
Oh,
Les Cruz. Oh, 100 Grossman.
Yeah, 147 minutes. Man, I know.
2 hours and 17 minutes.
What is going on? They better be saving the universe. Wow. I better get lots of Henry Cavill's mustache. Otherwise, you know, shit's going to
fall. Actually, it's like the last 17 minutes of the credits.
Probably. Also on the 27th, I thought this looked hilarious, even though I have never in my life seen the show. Teen Titans Go to the Movies. Have you guys ever seen Teen Titans Go?
I have watched it for like 3 or 4 minutes.
It was after my time.
Yeah, totally after my time.
Oh, it looks hilarious. After my time in terms of school thing.
Oh yeah, I assumed that maybe some, because I know that you've seen some. You're a big fan of the high school one.
Oh, but that's Adult Swim stuff.
Oh, is it?
Oh, Clone High?
Yeah.
Oh, Clone High is kind of
very different.
No.
Okay.
Clone High is brilliant. Clone High is the best. I would give up all seasons of Archer for a second season of Clone High, and I love Archer.
So this looks like it's kind of fun. It is a DC production.
Completely taking the piss out of the whole superhero franchise thing, which is wonderful.
Have you never seen Clone High?
No.
Oh, my God. So good.
I tried.
I couldn't stick with it either.
Oh God, the episode where Ponce de Leon dies from litter is the best episode of anything ever.
All right. I don't know. I can't relate.
And clone JFK mourning over his best friend who we've never seen before, just in this episode. I'm wearing Ponce's pants. It's the best thing ever.
I'm glad it exists.
Yes.
Me too. I just thought this looked hilarious, and I would be inclined to watch it, even though I've never seen an episode of Titans Go.
I would not go to the theater on my own, but if I got an invitation, I would be there. Yeah. This just looks...
It looks so much fun.
Yeah.
I would... I like the fact that the adult superheroes mock them.
Yes.
That's the best part of it.
Which is hilarious. And finally, Blind...
I'd also watch the film Alfred. You know I'd watch the film Alfred.
Alfred.
In the trailer. They're all excited because Robin thought he was getting his own film, and all of a sudden, Alfred, I'm going to clean up the streets.
Yes.
That's right.
I totally
watched that. Because Robin can never get his own movie because he's a sidekick. And closing off the month, Blindspotting. It's a movie that takes place in Oakland.
It looked interesting, but not enough to convince me to watch it.
Yeah, the trailer was very bland to me. The funniest part of the trailer is like, this is an Uber?
Is that Macklemore? I should probably look.
I don't think so.
No? There's like a white guy in it, and going, is that Macklemore?
I didn't recognize anybody in it, so okay, I'm pretty sure it's not.
Probably see Macklemore once in my life and go, hey, it's the white rapper kind of guy.
It's the dude.
That isn't Eminem.
That's right. All right. I think that the stuff happening locally is probably longer than the podcast is.
It was a pretty short run. It's going to be a short podcast.
I think so. At the Van City Theater, American Animals is playing June 29th, July 7th. Westwood Punk Icon, the documentary on Vivian Westwood, the British fashion designer, is screening June 29th to July 5th. Transformer, which was the Audience Award winner at Hot Dogs, it's a documentary about a transgender bodybuilder, which looks really interesting, playing one night only, July 7th at 8:45. The Bridge, I think we talked about this on the last podcast,
we did.
And at the time it was only scheduled for one screening, and they've added a number of other screenings. So it's the documentary on the collapse of the Iron Workers Memorial Bridge. It's screening July 7th to the 10th. Marlena the Murderer in four acts. I think this looks fantastic. I think we talked about it on one of the previous podcasts because it's been playing sort of the art house theaters. It's the film about, I think it's Malaysian, about a woman who was raped and then goes off and avenges basically herself and, you know, other women. Looks fabulous. Playing July 6th to the 14th. Sitta Sings the Blues.
Which is amazing, and everyone should see this because it's amazing.
Agreed.
And it's super amazing.
Agreed. And it is indeed an animated musical.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. It's a free screening, playing July 14th at 12:30 at the Museum of Vancouver. It's not actually playing at the Van City Theater.
That's how amazing it is. It's a musical. And it's an animated thing,
and
I freaking love it. So yeah,
it's pretty good. Have you seen the trailer for her new movie?
Oh man,
it
looks just as freaking amazing as I'm using amazing a lot because it deserves it.
Okay, so the Van City has also done some great programming around FIFA. So they have a couple of movies that sort of tie into soccer stories. The first one is Infinite Football, which is the new movie from Corneliu Porumbiu. I'm sure I massacred that. I loved 1208 East of Bucharest. I was kind of cold on police adjective, but I'm very curious about a Romanian comedy about a former soccer star who decides he's going to revolutionize soccer. And he like changes all the rules. And one of the things they mention in the write-up is that he cuts the corners of the field because he thinks that the game will move better. It just sounds ridiculous. So I'm kind of curious to see that. July 16th to the 18th. And, the other one is On the Seventh Day. This is Jim McKay's new movie. It's a comedy about a Mexican delivery man working in New York City who plays on like a recreational team who makes it to the finals. But on the same day of the finals, there's also like this big, the restaurant that he works for is doing a big catering job. So he has to decide, does he go to the final with the team or does he go to work? I know. It does look like it could be a lot of fun.
Hasn't been there?
Exactly. July 14th to the 19th. The Accountant of Auschwitz. This is Matthew Schoschitz's documentary about the trial of Oscar Gröning. This is playing July 20th to 25th. So Gröning was former Nazi who was arrested in Germany a number of years back. And when he was put on trial, there was like a whole big thing because he said, well, he never actually killed anyone. He was just following the rules.
Yeah, he was crunching numbers.
Pretty much. So it looks like it could be fairly interesting, though really super depressing. Also at the Van City Prodigals, I really liked this one. I saw it at the Whistler Film Festival. I think I may have mentioned it in passing. I don't think this is the first screening it's had locally. Sarah Canning and David Alpe are really fantastic in it, so highly recommend it. July 21st to the 24th, and it is indeed Canadian. The Van City has teamed up with Women in Film and Television Vancouver to do a series called Her Stories. So they've been inviting local female filmmakers to present films that inspired them in some way. I actually just went to see the Karen Lamb presented film Near Dark this past week, which was amazing. They dug up a 35mm print, which is like, it was shocking because we weren't expecting that. So the movie started and we're like, is this film? Nice. It was really kind of cool. So the next film in the series is Fish Tank, Andrea Arnold's spectacular movie. And it's presented by Kathleen Hepburn, who directed Never Steady, Never Still, which won a bunch of awards on the film circuit last year. And that's screening July 26th at 7:15. The Third Murder, this is Corrieta's film from 1 or 2 years ago now. I don't remember. I did see this at VIFF. It's really interesting. It kind of plays as a mystery and then turns into this drama about the power of the truth, and kind of you get a really interesting inside look at how the Japanese criminal system works. So it's really, really interesting, and it's really well acted, playing July 27th to August 2nd. And the last one is Ryuichi Sakamoto Koda. This is Stephen Schibel's documentary on Japanese composer Sakamoto, playing July 20th to August 2nd. At the Cinematheque, I didn't see a whole lot of interesting stuff at the Cinematheque. They are screening Werewolf as part of Canada Day celebrations. They're actually screening it on July 4th, which is kind of weird. Ashley McKenzie's movie, which I really like and highly recommend, playing at 7 o'clock. And it's a free screening. And the last is they're running a long series throughout the month on Jerry Trinka. He is a Czech animator who did a lot of stop motion. And two of the movies on the retrospective that I really, really like are The Emperor's Nightingale and Midsummer Night's Dream. So highly recommend both of those. Over at the Rio, which is still with us for the time being. Oops. Oh my God, total disaster there. Sorry, guys. Terminator and Terminator 2 double bill on July the 7th. First Reformed, Paul Schrader's movie with Ethan Hawke, playing July 8th and 10th. American Animals, playing July 15th, 16th, and 18th. And that is it.
Aren't they going to be doing a Deadpool and Deadpool 2?
They did
already. Yeah. Okay.
And apparently I didn't realize that those screenings were actually free.
Oh.
So I guess Create BC or Creative BC, they put some money into the Deadpool movies as well. And they donated like $10,000 or something to the Save the Rio campaign.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they did was they did two free screenings of Deadpool.
Nice.
And they apparently only released a small number of tickets to the public, and the rest was all like industry people.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard about it on the news. I thought it was coming up for some reason.
Yeah, no, it just happened in the last week or so. That's it. I've talked for a long time. Sorry.
Hooray.
No, not hooray.
No? Well, that's July.
That's July.
That is July. That's got to be our shortest show in history.
For a long time.
For a long time, at least.
But that is okay, because we will be back in a couple of weeks with the Media Spew, which I'm sure will be long-winded, as it usually is, because we watch a lot of television. So until then, be sure to come on by atcpod.ca for links to all the trailers and stuff. And until next time.
We'll see you after the credits. Now, you've made
you can't fight the friction. You can't fight the friction.